Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here.
Well, hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm glad you are with us this morning. And my name is Matthew. I'm one of the leaders here at Impact Church. And just a little bit about me. I've been saved for about 25 years now. And my wife and I look after pastoral care here at our Erina campus. And we've got three beautiful girls, Anna, Lila, and Rosie, and they're 8, 6, and 2, and they're just the apple of my eye. I love them so much. So that's a little bit about us, and we love serving Jesus, and we love being part of his kingdom. So I'm glad that you're here this morning. Next week is Christmas, as you know, and like every year it comes around so fast. And well, I don't know about you, how far back you set up your Christmas decorations and everything. Some people start in July when they have Christmas in July. Some people in November, but we start normally in about December. We get the smell of a brand new life tree and a real tree. And so that's something that we do with our kids, and it's lovely. And but one of the things I love about Christmas, apart from all the decorations and apart from the holiday season, is our love for our faith. Is it gets us back to the core thing of what it's all about. There's so many things that we can maybe even make our own Christian walk about, and there's so many books to read, there's so many videos, podcasts, YouTube things to make it about, but Christmas reminds us, it actually gets us back all back to Jesus. And one of the things that dad I love to do is take my girls for a bike ride. It's something that I did growing up with my dad. And me and my younger brother used to go down to the local field and just go over jumps and all that type of thing. And one of the things we actually used to do, and just boys being boys, is our goal was to try and get the other person to fall off the bike by throwing a stick through the spokes. And it's just boys being stupid. I'm glad that my dad encouraged us to wear helmets. But one of the things, we used to just be, do stupid things like that. And Christianity is a little bit like that. Jesus is the hub. And we got to understand that he's the center of everything. But often we get saved and it's all, Jesus is all we have. But then all of a sudden we start to veer off and we might make it about the spokes. It's like it might be about, Bible memorization, might be certain books to read, it might be certain courses that we do. And we ended up, before we know it, living on the fringes of Christianity or the fringes of church even. And look, as good as all those things are, man, without the hub, the spokes will just fall away. Often we make it about the spokes, but it actually needs to be about the hub. And so, you take the spokes away and all you got is Jesus is left, but man, you take the hub away and those things will fall away. And the devil's just waiting to throw a stick in those things to derail us. And it's good to be reminded about the hub, the center of everything in Christianity. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. Just briefly, just a little bit, is my title is Back to Where It All Began. And so main scripture I want to look at this morning is this, three wise men in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Let me just quickly pray and we'll get into this. Father, we thank you that you're here this morning. We thank you that through this medium, Father God, that you can speak to people's hearts. You can speak to people in their houses, in their lounge rooms right now, wherever they are, listening to this on a podcast, listen to this on their way to work. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that this would be more than information, that this would be revelation. It would be revealed truth, Father God. We don't need any more information, Father God. We need you to speak to our hearts. So I pray, if anything, this mother, be just one thing, if they get anything, they get a revelation of how much you love them, Jesus. Amen. Well, the first point I want to make this morning is seeing all that God has already done for you. It says this, "And when they come into the house, they saw the young child." My wife and I, first time this year actually, have watched a show called The Block, and it's about renovating, and it's I've avoided it for years because I don't like the drama, but it's actually good to see the actual practicality side of things. And one of my favorite episodes, where they run a few episodes through the week, the whole process, and on the last night of the week is they do the reveal, the big reveal of that room, and the judges get to go through and see everything that's been completed already. And I find that with Christianity, it's like we're not actually I'm not trying to add anything to you this morning, but rather I'm actually revealing what is already completed, what God's already done. And it's just a small part of the kingdom or a revelation that I may have had. But Jesus on the cross said, He didn't say it's to be continued, he said it is finished. And so the work in you that God's doing and what he's revealing is actually something he's already done. Seeing the room completed, it's all about seeing what God has for you. It's seeing the truth, seeing Jesus, not looking at the lie. The Bible says this in Isaiah 26, you will keep him in perfect peace whose eyes are fixed on you. I found this, whatever gets your attention gets you. What are you looking at? What are you seeing? Are you seeing Jesus? It might be the manger, it might be the mess, but are you seeing Jesus? People say this in life, and even in church we say, you know, face your fear. I would actually argue, I'm not sure if that's even scriptural. Fear is all about getting your attention off God and onto your problem. Whatever you fear, you often end up worshipping. Interesting fact about fear is that fear releases 1,400 physical and emotional, chemical, electrical impulses that actually damages your brain. Fear is not a healthy thing. No wonder the Bible says, I think 365 times, fear not. It's not, that's not what God wants you to look at. It's not what God wants you to see. He wants you to see Jesus. I would say this, every fear is built on a lie. If you're writing anything down, this is a good little thing that helped me. Deal with the fear and fear is still here, but deal with the lie and fear will die. Often we say faith is the opposite of fear. I don't know if that's, there might be some truth to that, but I'm not sure if it is. But I would say it's not faith. The Bible says this, perfect love casts out all fear. I would say the opposite of fear is love. Where love has full run of the house, fear has no space. So I want to encourage you, what are you looking at? Are you seeing Jesus? Are you seeing love? Are you seeing God's goodness? Because when you do, fear has no run. Fear has no room for you, room anymore to live. It has no space for you. And so whatever gets your attention gets you. The wise men walked in and they saw Jesus. Point number one, it's all about seeing. Point number two is that they fell down and worshipped him. First thing is seeing. The second thing is being. Worship is all about a state of being. It's a state of your identity. Worship is all about who you really are, being who you really are. You worship what you become. I want to say this. Christianity is about doing, and I'm not against that, but first, God saved you not for you to do things, but he saved you because he loved you. You're a human being, not a human doing. I'm sure, I don't want to make any assumptions too much, but I'm sure most women will agree with me when I say this, is when they gave birth to their kids, they're glad, it was hard enough, but they're glad they weren't adults being born, that they're glad that they were babies. You're not a son or daughter by worth, you're a child by birth. You know, I don't have to teach my daughters to muck up, to misbehave. To be honest, they are very good girls, but sometimes my little one's probably the cheekiest, and we've had to teach her not to hit people, and when she doesn't get her own way, and so when she comes home, we pick up from preschool. Sometimes she could have been the perpetrator of that, and as a father, I'm not one going to be like, okay, Rosie, now because you've hit someone, you've misbehaved, you've done a bad thing, you're not welcome in our house anymore. You can actually sleep outside tonight. I'm not going to, it'd probably be a miss of me and I'd be a bad father if I wasn't going to let her sleep inside. I wasn't going to feed her dinner. I wasn't going to do that. You got to understand is that everything in my daughter Rosie is there to be her full potential, but she's not there yet. And she's not a daughter by worth. She's a daughter by birth. And so being is not something that we have to, being a child of God is not something that we have to attain to you. It's in you. You might not be fully there yet. You might be in a baby stage, a toddler stage, a child stage, but everything is in you to be who you are. As I said, you're not born, when you're born again, when you become a Christian, you're not fully, you are, everything's in there. You might not be fully mature, but everything in there, the DNA of Jesus is in you to be a child of God. And so you learn to grow in that. My daughters, as I said before, they're allowed, whether they've been naughty or not, there might be other kids that are better, well-behaved. And they actually, when you look at their behavior, might be more suited to actually coming to our house because they've been well-behaved. But they don't actually bear my name. And so it's not right because they're not my kids. My kids have a right to my house because they have my name. They're my kids. They might not be all they can be, but everything is in them to be fully mature. I want to encourage you this. You're not changing into what you're not. You're growing into who you already are. You're growing into, you're discovering what Jesus has already done. It's like the block in the room reveals. You're discovering who you already are. Last point I want to make is this. Oh, no, I will share this story. I'll share this. This is probably a great illustration. I was reading this story in the Guardian the other day, and it was about a man who was raised by wolves. He was abandoned as a kid when he was about 6 or 7 years of age, and I think for 15 years he was raised by wolves. And it was an incredible story because when the authorities and people discovered him, he was... here we go. I'll read some of his story. His story... Marcus Rodriguez, his story is that he was abandoned as a child at 7 and left to fend for himself alone in the wild. As he tells it, he was raised by wolves who protected and sheltered him. With no one to talk to, he lost the use of language and began to bark, chirp and screech and howl. It's funny, when he first went to the movies, it says he ran out because of the theater because he was terrified of things coming out of it and that things would... There was horses galloping towards the camera. First time he ate in a restaurant, he was surprised he had to pay for food. All these things that we're used to growing up with, and he had to get used to actually now accommodating to who he really was. When they used to put food set up food, he'd actually jump down on the floor and eat with the dogs because he was used to eating off the floor with the dogs. And so now he had to learn to live a certain way. And as he grew up, it took him years to adjust and realize, I'm actually not a wolf. I am actually a human being. And now they say when he goes to a zoo or he sees dogs or he sees wolves, there's something in him that kind of like, oh, like I can relate to that. That's I know what that's like, but he realizes it's not who he is anymore. And look, you might have lived a certain way before you got saved. You might have had a certain experience. You might know what it's like to... be an alcoholic. You might know what it's like to whatever it is. You see that and it's like, but that's not who you are anymore. So first thing is seeing. Second thing is being. And for all the doers out there, the last thing is doing. They opened their treasuries and presented gifts to him. I want to encourage you in this, is that we live from a place of who we are, not to try and get who we are. One of the greatest tricks of the devil is trying to prove who you already are. And so we don't need to prove who we are. And so you look in Genesis and the serpent, and we don't want to go down the theological, down that of like, is the serpent the devil or not? For this point is that the serpent came to Eve and said, hey, God said, if you eat this fruit, you will be like me. He says, you will, let me bring that up for you. You will be like God. It says, if you eat this apple, you will be like God. And put down his own. See, the thing is, she was already created in the image of God. She was already like God. And then we see in the New Testament, the devil comes with his same old bag of tricks. He comes to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, turn those rocks into bread. If you are the Son of God, do this. But just a chapter before that, he was baptized by John and the Holy Spirit came down and a voice from heaven said, this is my son in whom I loved and well pleased. And he didn't have to do a thing. He hadn't done ministry yet. He hadn't turned water into wine. He hadn't healed anyone. And so you have to understand that you're loved and well pleased before you do a thing. You live from a place of being accepted. You live from a place of love. You live from a place of significance. We're not trying to do things to get significance. We're not trying to do things to get accepted by God or by people. We're not trying to do things to get love. We actually live from a place of love, from a place of acceptance, and from a place of significance. Let me finish with this last story. Is that when we used to go on holidays as a kid, we used to travel up the coast to Queensland, and back in the day, I hate to date myself with this stuff, but there was only a cassette player in the car. There was no Walkmans, there was no Discmans, there was no iPods. There was one, and Mum had control of it. And often it'd either be ABBA, unfortunately I know a lot of the words of those songs, it might be John Farnham, it might be Billy Ray Cyrus, for all those fans out there. Bee Gees, or another one was the Beatles. And so I know a lot of those songs just because a good solid 10-hour, 12-hour trip to Queensland, that's all we had to listen to in the car. And I read an article a few years ago that I think Paul McCartney sold one of his first guitars that he wrote a lot of his songs on. And if you ever see the guitar, I'm not sure if it's a guitar or bass player, someone will probably correct me in the comments, but they sold that and it went for over $400,000. And you look at that guitar and it's not even that impressive. It doesn't look that great. It's actually just pretty ordinary, but it's because who wrote the songs and who used that guitar. And I encourage you that because he was significant, he gave significance to that guitar. I want to encourage you the same thing. Because you're significant in God, you give significance to what you do. Because you are loved, you bring love. You're not trying, as I said, you're not trying to get it. Because you already have it, what you do, because you are significant, you do significant things. And I encourage you, imagine finding the slingshot that David used to kill Goliath. I mean, that thing is just a child's toy. But because who brought significance to it, it became a significant thing. Man, we find the jaw that Samson used to kill 300 people. Man, we found that jaw, man. It's like it's just a donkey jaw. But man, we found the staff of Moses. It's just a stick. But man, because Moses was significant, he gave that stick significance. Man, imagine finding the hanky that Peter used, that prayed for, sent it out and healed people. Imagine finding those things, ordinary things, but because the people that had significance because of what God did in their lives, it gave those things significance. I want to encourage you, the things that you do, whether it be in your workplace, even as a church, we're not trying to get significance. The sheer fact that we are significant because we're the bride of Christ, we bring significance to our community. We bring significance to our workplace. We bring significance to our family because we are significant in God. I encourage you that you have the life of Jesus in you. You have that. You are born again. You are dead to sin and alive in Christ. And so therefore, Jesus isn't the answer to your life. He actually is your life. The very source of your strength, the very source of your love, your power, everything that you do is now because of Him in you. And you don't have to try and get it anywhere else. Because you've got Jesus, you've got everything you need. Everything's completed. You're just finding out what He's already done in your life. That's what I love about the Christmas story, is that we just get to get back to these basics. So this morning, I hope that's blessed you this morning. And I encourage you, if you're watching this for the first time, Church Online, or you may be watching this for a few times, but you haven't made a decision for Jesus, let me encourage you. It's not about joining a church necessarily. It's not about joining a religion. Jesus is a person. He wants to do relationship with you. He loves you. And so if you want to make that decision for the first time or recommit, I want to encourage you in the chats there. There's a little button you can press to raise your hand. I want to pray a prayer with you. I'd love to encourage you to do that. Whether it's through this medium here, God can still move and you can accept Him and He can change your life. So let me just pray for you this morning. Dear Father, I thank You for everyone that's watching here today. And I pray, Father, if this is the first time, I pray, God, that I would encourage you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I accept You as my Lord and my Savior. I want to give You my past. I want to give You all my mistakes. And I accept Your life as my life. I want to receive the future that You have for me. I want to now live for You. I want to make You Lord and I want to make You Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, if you said that for the first time, I want to encourage you to connect with maybe a Christian you know, or go to church, go to hopefully an Impact campus is close by. But hey, look, don't do this by yourself. I want to encourage you to get a part of a community. And look, we love you. Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great family time and we'll see you next week. God bless.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week and you can access all our podcasts videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.